Good morning, church. I hope we are enjoying the sunshine. Yeah, this morning I'm going to talk about how the Holy Spirit, our helper, will help us be more like Jesus. You know, becoming more like Jesus Christ is our mission as a church. And this month we'll be talking about how we can have more of Jesus in our lives, in our spaces as believers. So this morning, we are looking at the Holy Spirit, our helper. I'm pretty sure that the word Holy Spirit is not new to us as believers. Now, I want us to know that we do not need to walk with Christ alone. Do we agree with me? Sometimes people think being a Christian means trying harder, fixing ourselves, being perfect, or having a strong faith all the time. But if we are being honest with ourselves, there are some days when following Jesus feels so difficult. There will be days when we feel tired, even waking up in the middle of the night to say a single line of prayer, you know, we will feel tired. Even sometimes in the morning before rushing out to our daily work, we'll feel tired to even call that name of Jesus. But, you know, Jesus knew about all of this, and therefore, he left us something to help us along. He gave us a gift to help us along. And what is this gift? It is the Holy Spirit. Now, our Bible text is taken from the book of John, chapter 14, verse 26. And I'll be reading the English Standard Version because I'm going to read another version later. Now, this Bible passage says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." Jesus spoke these words to his disciples just days, you know, before his crucifixion. Though he was about to leave them physically, he promised not to leave them alone. He promised to send the Holy Spirit to be with them permanently as their helper. Now, I want us to personalize this to ourselves. Jesus promised to send us helper, that helper that will be with us permanently, that when we are in the need of, in the middle of crisis, it's always on standby to help us, to pick us up. So if you have ever thought, "I am trying, but it is hard," just take note that God never wanted you to go through it alone. Now, how does the Holy Spirit help us to follow Jesus? And I'm going to read the Amplified Version. This says, it's the same scripture, John 14, verse 26. "But the Helper," now in brackets, it says, "the Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, and Standby. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall everything that I have told you." You know, I so much love Amplified Version of the Bible because it will give you more meanings, more synonyms to, you know, any highlighted words there. Now, the Amplified Version opened up to the fullness of what Jesus promised. The Holy Spirit is not one thing. He's everything we need. Do we agree with that? He's a comforter. When we grieve, the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us. He's an advocate. When we are accused, he's there. He's a counselor. When we are lost, he's there to direct us to the right path. He's always on standby, who is always present, and who is always ready to help. Now, I will just let us know a few ways that the Holy Spirit can help us. Now, the Holy Spirit is not distant, right? He is real. Do we believe that the Holy Spirit is real? He is real. And is active in our everyday lives. It might feel as if, oh, I've not got any helper. No, the Holy Spirit is on standby. If you call upon him, he will help you. And here is how it works in our lives, you know, to follow Jesus Christ. The first thing he does is that he teaches us. The Holy Spirit enables us to learn the truth from God. Sometimes when we are reading the scripture, a verse suddenly becomes very clear to us. We understand it better, right? Do you know that it is not just a coincidence? It is the work of the Holy Spirit to make it clearer to us. It makes us understand the word of God. And it always points us to Christ. Now, the second way the Holy Spirit helps us is that he reminds us. How easy it is to forget. I don't know if there is anyone here today that forgets things. Sometimes I might drop, you know, an item here and I'll be looking everywhere in the house. Where did I put this? Where did I put it? It's gone, I've forgotten. But the Holy Spirit is always there to remind us. He's there to remind us about what Jesus Christ told us. You know, sometimes we forget God's promise when we face hardship. Sometimes, you know, some words will come out from our mouth. I'll be like, why me, God? Why am I passing through this? Why do I have to go through this? But do you know that God's faithfulness is always sure for us? God's peace, when we are under pressure, is always there. When we are under pressure, Holy Spirit will give us that peace. When we are suddenly reminded of a scripture or something God has done before, most of the time it is the Holy Spirit at work. And we will just remember, oh yes, I am passing through this at this moment. But the Lord has done it before, and he will surely do it again. Why do I have to be thinking that, why am I passing through this? Why me, God? Why me? But the Holy Spirit will suddenly remind us that, have you forgotten? When you needed this, when you wanted God to perfect this for you, he did it. Just have it at the back of your mind that he will surely do it again. Now, another way is that he helps us forgive and choose peace or patience. He helps us forgive when it is hard. He helps us choose patience instead of anger. He does not force us. He gently empowers us to respond as Jesus would. You know, there's a situation that, humanly speaking, human action, we act like, oh no. But we just ask ourselves that, is that how Jesus Christ will respond? No, but the Holy Spirit will help us to respond in a way that Jesus Christ will respond. The Holy Spirit helps us to trust and obey. He helps us when temptation comes. He helps us trust God when we cannot see the full picture of things or life. So the Holy Spirit is not distant. He is real and he is active in our lives. Also, the Holy Spirit intercedes. He advocates for us before the Father and helps us pray even when we do not know what to say. His intercession is a constant gift to every believer. He also strengthens. When we feel we don't have any power to do this, he gives us that power. He strengthens. He gives us the power to forgive. He gives us the power to be patient, to obey, to trust God, even when we cannot see the full picture. His strength sustains us daily. Now, I just want to give us a brief example of how the Holy Spirit helps us as believers. If we consider the case of a baby taking his first steps, right? The baby wishes to progress, but the baby is not steady. The baby falls down, loses balance, stumbles. But a good parent stands beside the child, holding their hand, picking them up when they fall,
and encouraging them to keep going forward. This is the exact way the Holy Spirit helps us. When we stumble, He's always there to pick us up. When we fall, He's there. He picks us up, and then we continue in the journey. Most of us can relate to moments where we were clueless, but we were made peaceful through prayer. Or instances where we were about to do something wrong, but a voice within us told us to stop. Or when we wanted to give up, but something kept us moving. This is how the Holy Spirit quietly works in us, softly, faithfully, and consistently. Now, following Jesus does not have to be done alone. The Holy Spirit is here to assist you. Tomorrow morning, instead of looking at your phone or diving into the busyness of the day, you can begin your day with this prayer. You can just say, Holy Spirit, help me to follow Jesus today. It's easy, it's simple, but when you call Him, He will surely answer you. You start your day surrendered, not striving. Invite Him before the day begins. Secondly, you can just tell Him, Holy Spirit, help me think right. Help me speak right. When you think right, you speak right, right? Ask Him to guide your mind, your words, before they go out into the world. Because He is the counselor, let Him counsel you first. You can also tell Him that, help me to trust God. Help me walk as Jesus walked. Christianity is not an effort. Christianity is working with God, with the gift He has given us, the Holy Spirit. That prayer could make all the difference that we need. And I pray that as we walk with God, the Holy Spirit will continue to guide us, to strengthen us, to teach us, and to remind us what Jesus Christ has told His disciples when He was with us physically. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ola. My name is Sally, and following on from what Ola's just preached, mine is to talk about power to see miracles, how the Holy Spirit empowers us to see Jesus move in our lives and in our communities. So I will start by, you know, what's the definition of a miracle? Because it's the power to see miracles, isn't it? So what is a miracle? The Cambridge Dictionary defines it as an unusual and mysterious event that is thought to have been caused by a god because it does not follow the usual laws of nature. For example, and this is an example in the dictionary, Jesus Christ was said to have performed miracles like turning water into wine. Another definition is a very lucky event that is surprising and unexpected, or an excellent achievement in a particular area of activity. For all of us, the idea of a miracle will be different. It will change depending on our circumstances. It could be, you know, healing. It could be getting a particular job, or that relationship being restored. Or it could be, for others, just food on the table. As Christians, the Holy Spirit empowers us to see Jesus move in our circumstances and in our communities. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. The Greek word for helps in Romans chapter 6, so sorry, Romans 8, 26, which we've just read, is, and I'm really going to try this, sunantilambanomai. So it's a compound verb, which means to take hold of a load together with someone, or to come alongside to help bear a burden. It implies a partnership or cooperation where the Holy Spirit helps carry the load of our weaknesses. It suggests that the Holy Spirit aids us specifically in our prayer when we do not know how to pray. He takes part and makes our weak prayers effective. That word helps is a very rare term. It only appears twice in the New Testament. In the verse we have read, Romans 8, 26, and in Luke chapter 10, verse 40, when Jesus visits Mary and Martha, and where we see Martha very busy with hospitality, and Mary is sat at the feet of Jesus listening to him. And we see Martha come to Jesus and say, "Ask Mary to help me." What is true from Romans 8, 26 is that we cannot, and we cannot even think that we can truly pray or intercede for others just on the basis of our own understanding or of our own perspective. We need the Holy Spirit's help. If we assume that we know how to pray or intercede for others, we will not only hinder maximum effectiveness of our prayers, but we might also miss the kind of adventure God might want us to go on. You know, he might want to bless us as we receive insight and enabling from the Holy Spirit. God might want to use just silence or verses of scripture or mental pictures, visions, etc. But we can only know that by waiting on the Holy Spirit and giving him time to move in and through us. A few months ago, I was praying for my daughter Stephanie regarding a particular skill in her extracurricular activities. My whole focus was on her successfully executing that skill to achieve her grade. For me at the time, it was a big thing, and I needed a breakthrough in that area as it had been a challenging 12 months, and she had her grades in a few weeks. As I prayed one of the days, I felt the Holy Spirit ask me, what was my motive? I was kind of taken aback. I just wanted Stephanie to do well. I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. But then I heard another voice that said, what about the others? So then I found my prayer, my focus shift from that thing that I was so concerned and focused on to praying for all the other girls, those I knew and those I didn't, those in the club and beyond. The result? Well, on the day of the grades, there was no stress for whatsoever on my part. The whole time I sat in the room, I just prayed for every child in the room. And God did not just answer. He did not just help Stephanie to execute that particular skill, but made her much more amazing on the day. He surprised us all. God did not only answer, he did much more than we could ever ask of or dream of. So to finish off, and for our takeaway for today, the Holy Spirit, he is our helper. As Ola said, he's on standby. He's there. That's his job. That's why we have him. And he really empowers us to see Jesus move. But to do that, we need to ask him to help us. We need to exercise humility and faith to wait on him to direct us. We need to be sensitive to his voice and his prompting. Because sometimes we might hear and we go like, oh my God, what's that? You know, but we are sensitive to him and to the promptings we get throughout the day. You know, it will be the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And then we need to obey and do as he leads. And then we will see Jesus move. He might not move the way we want to see him move, because sometimes we have our own ideas, but he will definitely move. Amen. I'll pass over to Nick now. Thank you.
Well, good morning. I would like to talk to you this morning about the power to witness. The Holy Spirit gives us power to witness. Some time ago, I was asked to give a witness statement. In fact, I was summoned to give a witness statement to an accident that I'd seen. And the police asked me these questions. In your own words, tell us what you saw, heard, or experienced on that day. What did I see, what did I hear, and what did I experience? I was under oath to give an honest answer to that. There's a great example of a witness statement in Scripture, and I think it's going to come up now. It's from the book of John. And it's a story, an eyewitness account of an encounter of a woman with Jesus, or an encounter of Jesus with a woman. Beginning to read at verse 4. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to Samaritan woman, "How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you've nothing to draw with it from, and this well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here for water." He told her, "Go and call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you don't know. We should worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and worshippers must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called the Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Then the disciples returned, and they were surprised to see Jesus talking with a woman, but nobody asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her jars, the woman went back to town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town, and they made their way towards him. That's a witness account of what actually happened. And the woman gave a witness account to the town. I wish I had more time to go through this, but I can't. The Samaritan town was alien to the Jewish people. The Jewish people, including Jesus, wouldn't want normally to go near a Samaritan town. In fact, this town, Sychar, its translation from the Hebrew is actually liar and drunken. That's what they thought about this town. And here we have a lone woman at a well at midday drawing water. And here we have a rabbi. Here we have Jesus, a lone man, speaking to a lone woman. This was just something that was just not done. And in fact, it was against the law to do that. The suggestion about the woman being at the well at 12 o'clock was not a good time, you know, to be drawing water at 12 o'clock. And the suggestion within that, and it's only a suggestion, is that she's probably an outcast. First of all, she's an outcast to Jesus because she's a Samaritan and he's a Jew. She was there at midday drawing water. Maybe she was an outcast in her village. She couldn't go at a normal time, which would be early morning when it's cool, late in the evening when it's cool. She was there at midday drawing water. Jesus spoke words into her life. He spoke about her life, but he did it in such a way that didn't diminish who she was. It didn't belittle her. It didn't make her feel awkward. In fact, when we read that story, she's quite a feisty person. She's somebody who could give and take her words. She's somebody who actually knew some scripture. She knew about the things of God from her Jewish Samaritan heritage. And yet Jesus chose to unveil who he was to this outcast woman. It says, the old commentators say, that this is the first time to a non-religious person, not a disciple, that Jesus revealed who he was. All the way through scripture, when people asked him who he was, he didn't give the answer that they wanted, because that would incriminate him by saying he was God. But to her, he said, I am the Messiah. Isn't that wonderful to think that Jesus revealed himself to somebody who was weak, who's somebody who possibly lived in sin, somebody who wasn't holy and wasn't religious, somebody a bit like us, I think. She gave a witness statement to the village, and again, the village may or may not have had an idea about who she was, somebody who had dubious marriages, somebody with a dubious background, perhaps. But she spoke about what she had seen, what she had heard, and what she experienced. They didn't turn their back on her, you know. They came to Jesus. Scripture tells us they went and came towards him. The power of a witness statement. What does that mean for us? Well, we don't need to be afraid of witnessing. We don't need to be afraid of not having the right words. We don't need to feel that we're useless at telling things about Jesus. This woman didn't have the answers. This woman didn't have the Holy Spirit. This woman just told what she'd seen, what she'd heard, and what she'd experienced. And it changed people's lives. It's the power of witness. We've actually been called by Jesus to be witnesses. That is a calling. That is a ministry on our lives. It's a calling. We've actually been commissioned to be witnesses. We've actually been given the authority and the directive to be witnesses to what Jesus has done in our lives. And this morning, this story is getting better and better. Because in Acts chapter 1, it's on the screen now, Jesus talking to his disciples. And if we're followers of Jesus this morning, we're his disciples, we're his commissioned and called people. And Jesus says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world." Sorry, the ends of the earth. Where's our Jerusalem? It's where we live. Where's our Judea and Samaria? It's the places that we travel to. And where's the ends of the earth? Well, you can decide that for yourself. Jesus has promised us the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses. And all we need to do is tell people what we've seen of Jesus, what we've heard him say, what we've heard about him, and what we've experienced in our own lives, what he's done for us, in our own words. They carry so much power. They don't have to be scripture perfect words. They don't have to be a formula. They have to come from our heart to say, this is the Jesus I know. I don't have all the answers, but this is what he's done for me. This is what I've heard about him and seen and experienced. This is what he's done in my life. And you know something, when we do that, in the power of the Holy Spirit, it will draw people to him. Not clever words, but our own words. Not a formula, but our own experience, drawing people to Jesus. There's two things here. The Holy Spirit gives us power to witness. But I'd like to leave you with this thought. I don't believe that Jesus came to the well for water. I believe he came for the woman. He came for her. It changed her life. It gave her hope. It gave her meaning. It gave her everything that she needed to live a godly life. And this morning there will be people in this room who've experienced the power of Jesus and the love of Jesus. And that's wonderful. We can have more power. We can ask the Holy Spirit for more power to be our witnesses, to surrender what we think a witness is, and just to be ourselves telling people about Jesus. And there may be people in this room who've never said yes to Jesus, but he's come for you today. He's come for you today. He's come to give you an opportunity to receive the living water that he promised this woman. Will you take that opportunity today? Will you reach out today? Because today is the day of salvation. Just reach out to him because he loves you.